Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 45, John, Grace and Mercy. Scriptures. And that hour came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called to him a little child, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye turn and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believes on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be sunk in the depth of the sea. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, American Standard Version. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and his own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their role, for the day of calamity and evil. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it, they will not go unpunished. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, chapter 11 and verse 20 and 21. By mercy and love, truth and fidelity to God and man, not by sacrificial offerings, iniquity is purged out of the heart, and by the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from and avoid evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 4 to 7, Amplified. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Allow me a footnote here, please. In my doctrine, a false prophet, a false teacher, a false pastor, a false evangelist, a false apostle, whatever, is anyone who preaches eternal separation from Christ. They'll be burning forever in an endless hell. That, to me, is what is false. Starting this again. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 29. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed, or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit, or by word, or by letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition. Reference Daniel 7 and verse 25, Daniel 8 and verse 25, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking the seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Reference Ezekiel 28:2. Daniel 11:36 and 37. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan and will be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders, and by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception for those who were perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it, that they might be saved. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe in, who refused to adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, Amplified. End Scripture. Vision. Before the vision, a note. Note. I believe that the following vision explains my doctrine more completely. For I believe that the son of perdition that Jesus mentioned in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and verse 12 is the carnal nature in mankind after the fall of Adam. However, I also believe that the son of perdition is a spiritual entity, a force of motion from the spirit world, which is deceiving many in this hour. It is the force of spirit that imitates perfectly the Christ, but is not the Christ. End note. The seat of the Lord within the temple of his holiness, even the Holy of Holies, it was there that I saw one who sat upon the seat, even that mercy seat, which is exemplary of the mercy and the grace of the Lord, and of his great love, wherewith he hath loved us. I saw upon this seat the Lord sitting in the midst of the blood of sprinkling. But as I looked closely at this one who sat thus upon the mercy seat, I knew that this was not the Lord at all, but this one who was prophesied about by Daniel and the Apostle Paul. This was indeed the perdition that the Lord Jesus Christ said he would not save. Before this false Jesus came forward, many of the fivefold ministry in the earth at this time in our day, these would present themselves to the false Lord. This is the fivefold ministry now. Would present themselves to the false Lord, thinking in their minds that this was the Lord, but they had no discernment that this was indeed that one who only imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. The fivefold ministry came with briefcases and books and written texts which they presented to this perdition. This perdition who sat upon the mercy seat would then view the articles within their various texts and would approve of them, and then would send these false fivefold ministries out into the world to deceive and to bind and to confuse and to cause rift and division and every evil working. I knew that this was the hour in which the world is in now at this time, and that this perdition is working in the Christian world without any restraint from the true Holy Spirit and vision. And in Scripture, while I was with them in the world, I kept in thy name those that thou gavest me. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. John 17:12. Note, the Amplified Bible, this is a note from me. Note, the Amplified Bible declares the son of perdition to be Judas Iscariot. This is false. The Amplified Bible has this wrong. Judas Iscariot is not the son of perdition. For no one who is carnal is without this perdition in them. In point of fact, it is this very perdition that the overcomers are overcoming. Perdition and the seat of perdition is the carnality of man apart from God. Again, the carnality of man apart from God. Footnote, carnality. That's the power or feeding of the flesh. I refuse to see this as one singular person, but rather a realm of our fallen nature, which God is removing from us by his many and varied judgments. End note. And vision. Because of the great love God has for us, and because of his particular and unique calling, there is at this time being raised up a core element, a group of people who were called out of every tribe, nation, and kingdom in the world. This core element has been called out since Israel wandered in the wilderness of Sinai, right up to this present hour. These are the ones who had only one key element in their hearts, more than all the other people who were around them. That key element was in two parts. The first part was, they had a very deep and pure love for the Lord. The second was that the Lord had hand-picked them and drew them unto himself. This is the working of God in choosing and picking out of mankind those who would form this core element, this group, this wheel within a wheel. Even the church within the church. Every man or woman who is born into this world has the world in their hearts. Scripture. I have seen the travail which God hath given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. However, it is the calling of God which surpasses the world set in the heart, and that his great love is drawing them, and that causes them to abandon everything to follow Jesus, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. In my doctrine, I believe that this group who forms this core element are very few and far between. One here, one there. Not a vast number, but an extremely small number. These are not out there taking part with the other so-called fivefold ministry in the earth, nor are they taking part in any of the programs and elements of religious Babylon that is part of the Christian world in denominations. These have separated themselves from all of that, coming out with no clue as to where their footfalls are taking them. Like Abraham of old, they go out looking for a city whose foundation and building is of God. Nothing else consumes their life other than to see Jesus in his glory. Nothing else matters to these few who are thus separated from everyone else, whether it be their own children or parents or siblings, or the place wherein they live or nation in which they dwell. Their confession is that they are strangers and pilgrims in the land, and that they are only passing through. These do not bear some sort of escapism mentality or doctrine which gives them false hope. They boast only in the finished work of the Lord, which is being daily worked out in them through their personal trials and tribulations. These form a mighty giant that the Lord is raising up, even though they are distanced one from another over the whole of the earth. They are still one in this great thing that the Lord is about to do. So now we come to view this core element of our modern world as they who overcome. When you look around you, there will be hardly another soul that you know who is truly walking in this power of spirit, There may be one or two here and there that you can fellowship with, but for the most part, you stand alone from all other elements and people, and you do not fit in with the world or religious men in any way. This is the hand of the Lord in separating you, and it is perfect. It is these who are thus separated who will discover the perdition that lays in this world deceiving the religious masses. By their testimony, they will expose this tame beast and will see this perdition destroyed by the brightness of the Lord Jesus Christ coming within them. Right under the noses of the Christian world will they point to the Lord they worship and reveal to them that this is not Jesus, but this one who imitates Jesus. This is the prophecy. It is an upcoming event that the sons and daughters of the Lord, who have separated themselves from everything else to be abandoned unto the Lord, will be used of the Lord to expose the perdition of this very day. For we are in the time the Apostle Paul spoke of, wherein we would see this perdition sitting in the holiest of holies as God, but is not God. This is the I am as God, which Moses did not know. This is the perdition which Paul said would one day appear, who would not be restrained by the power of the Holy Ghost. The method the Lord will use in his sons and daughters to expose this perdition will be very simple. The true Lord will appear in these who have overcome, and by that appearing, the perdition in the world will be destroyed. So now we come to the Apostle John, the same apostle who lay upon the breast of Jesus at the final supper when Christ communed with them, the same apostle who endured the many attempts against his life in martyrdom and who was exiled to Patmos and who had the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the same apostle who also speaks to us about being part of the foundation structure of the New Jerusalem, as being like a little child to enter the kingdom. When you come right down to it, John was a disciple who only desired to lean upon the breast of Jesus, to hear his heartbeat, to know him in intimacy of Lord with himself as a son. He had the grand revelation of Christ coming forth in full glory and power and honor that the Father had given him when he ascended on high. His book has created centuries of controversy, realms of conflict, waves of deception, and prideful people claiming place and name in the verses he wrote. His writing revealed the two witnesses, the body of Christ in the earth, these ones who are this core element I speak of. Yet I believe that John himself was exemplary of this little child that would enter the kingdom of heaven. For the overcomer, it is not a large volume of revelation that is needed to conquer every foe. It is not a vast knowledge of the depth of Scripture. It is not the ability to walk in high spirit revelation and never succumb to the urges of the lower fleshly nature. None of those things make an overcomer overcome. The overcomer conquers all things by plain, pure, childlike faith. A faith that would only see the Lord Jesus Christ alone in their eyesight, and who are glad to be able to commune with him, leaning upon his breast. They do not wrestle with the cup of suffering, nor do they refuse that cup when it comes to them. They do not confess to use swordplay to a skill that others cannot understand, nor do they ever use the armor of the Lord to their own benefit. They jealously guard their hearts to keep them simple and pure, and with no restraints before the Lord, so that if the Lord should choose to use them, they would immediately be available for that use. These do not talk about how great they will one day be, or how great they are now. They do not amplify their ability in the Lord, nor their power when it comes to bearing witness to the works of the Lord in them. They only point to others, to Jesus alone, and by that show the difference between truth and error. Their mouths are not filled with large volumes of words and prophecies, but simple statements of faith and of joy. They count not their numbers, nor do they attempt to claim a standing in the Lord that is higher than that which perfect humility would give them. These walk in the pure love of God. They know that God will redeem all men back unto himself. This to them is the pearl of great price, an investment of truth in them that is holy and that undoes any religious effort on their part. The overcomer rejoices in the love of God and is glad for his acceptance of them as children, born after their father, just as Jesus was. That as Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, so they have also become the same. The spirit of witness in them leaps at the sound of the voice of the Lord. Those who desire this unity with the Lord that comes by simple obedience do so by five simple childlike steps. And here are the five, numbered 1 to 5. They come into simple obedience by five simple childlike steps. 1, they glory in their tribulations. 2, their tribulation works in them patience. 3, their patience works in them experience. They are able to share with others. 4, their experience works in them for the fullness of the Lord. 5, their hope makes them to not be ashamed of the tribulation they daily endure. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 6 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So when you come right down to it, the overcomer knows that anything other than plain, pure faith is total vanity. Nothing else matters. They only look to see that Jesus is in what they read or hear or speak, nothing or no one else. They care not to hear those who amplify themselves or their own ability or calling. They do not listen to any of the ministers of the gospel who claim a place with God, but who hold to error. They do not equate the gospel with money or with lands or with the gain of earthly possessions. Theirs is the desire of the paradise of God, nothing less, which paradise they do not want to go to, but which they desire would come to the earth. It is this world they long to see the fullness of the Lord come to. The paradise of the Lord, the peace of a continuing kingdom, which cannot have any error or sin within it. It is that simplistic desire that keeps them day by day. That is the hope of they who overcome. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.